Vasily Spogar is the only sailor ever to have won sailing medals at the Olympics for his small nation of Slovenia, and he won three of them. So how did Vasco punch above his weight? That's what we'll be asking him in a moment. But firstly, some introductions. I'm Andy Rice. I'm based in the UK. So good morning from me. And it's good evening from Hamish out in Auckland. How are you doing, Hamish?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good evening, everyone. It's a little bit chillier down here than usual. I'm wrapped up, 8 degrees this morning. We're still in winter.
So good to see that the cold weather has arrived at last for you, Hamish. I'm generally jealous of the weather that you've got on the other side of the world, but things are balancing up. And meanwhile, let's bring in our guest for the day, Vasily Spogar, aka Vasco. Good morning to you, Vasco. Where are you in the world today and what are you up to?
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good all day, probably. There is probably a lot of people around the world at the moment on this channel. So, I'm in Bulgaria. We are here for the first training camp for the Europeans that are coming up in the beginning of October. And it's a lovely day and a nice breezy morning.
And Europeans in what class are you talking about?
Laser standard.
Okay. Right. So we'll be talking about lasers. And I'm pleased to hear that you call them lasers still. I haven't got used to Ilka yet. You're old school like me. I hope you don't mind me saying, Vasco, you're probably not one of the most famous names in Olympic sailing history. But I think you deserve to be. I think winning three medals for Slovenia, and am I correct in saying you're the only sailor ever to have won medals for Slovenia?
Yeah.
Yeah. So to do that three times, a laser bronze at Athens 2004, a laser silver at Beijing 2008, and then you switch to the Finn and you won the silver medal at Rio 2016. That is a phenomenal achievement for anybody, from any nation, but it does strike me that it's possibly an even greater achievement when you manage to do that from a nation that hasn't actually won any Olympic medals before. So let me ask you where you found the belief from that you could actually be the first Slovenian to win an Olympic sailing medal. Were you born with that confidence, or just give us a bit of your background?
Well, I always like to mention also London, which I was very, very close to a medal. Was all to play in the medal race. I felt that fifth place was an incredible achievement after just over 2 years of preparation in the Finn class. So, and there is an unbelievable story behind that Olympic Games. Maybe I share later on.
Well, absolutely. We should go into that as well. And you're right to pick me up on that, because that medal race was incredible. And if you run that medal race four or five times more, you probably have four or five times different outcomes. Yes, thanks for picking up on that as well. But
yeah, to tell you the truth, at some point, I choose to let's say start sailing a little bit more, let's say professionally, early age, let's say around 15, 16. And I never had in mind an Olympic medal. I think that for me and for Slovenia was just a bar that was too high, and nobody was thinking about an Olympic medal at all. And neither did I. I just want to get better and better every day. I'm a very competitive person, so I believe any kind of sport I would choose, I would try, obviously, to get better at it. I never had a bar, a result bar. It was just making myself better and better every day. And through all my career, the most important thing was that I came off the water and I learned something. And that, I think, helped me to understand how I worked, how sailing works, how the competitors are working, and that gave me a chance to get all this medal, I believe.
So how much were you self-taught and how much coaching were you getting in your early days of sailing?
Well, not much really. Obviously, yes, when I started laser, this is now almost 20 years ago, I kind of learned more or less all by myself through experience, actually. That's why my last Olympics in Rio, I was 42, just 42 years old, just because that process was so long, because I have nobody to help me. But luckily, I came across with Trevor Miller in 99 and 2000, but obviously understand that we had basically no budget to hire a coach. So we kind of did few small camps a year, and then obviously slowly got better, and the camps were getting longer and more often every year. And that's how it went, but it was a long journey. It was a long journey just because there wasn't any structure. The only thing was that I wanted to get better and better, and there was no limit for me. And unfortunately, I had food to eat and somewhere to sleep, and that was enough for me.
What was the point in your early career of sailing where it wasn't just about getting better and better every day, but you felt that if you kept that process of continual improvement, that you might be able to turn that into a good result on the international scene? Was there a particular regatta that you can remember where you felt like there was a breakthrough and you realized actually you were really good at this?
Yes, this was European in laser in Split in 2003 when I won. Before that, I actually never been top 10 in any major events. So I was always bouncing between, I remember, 18 and 36, like for years, it was so frustrating. But well, I try to understand and try to learn from all these events. And to tell you the truth, there was many times I would say, I'm not sure about this. But then, obviously, but you have to understand this was a period of 10 years that was bouncing between 18 and 36, and just be able and have this support, obviously, from the family and from friends was crucial to then deliver a result that change in my mind, my goals.
So do you understand the term pecking order? Do you know what I mean by the pecking order?
No.
Okay, it's an English term that we mean about where you tend to be in the fleet. So you were about 18th to 36th in the pecking order. So I just wonder, when you've been there for 10 years, surely that ingrains in your belief system that I'm always going to be here. So how did you break out of 18 to 36 and then be able to win those Europeans in 2003?
Well, I never thought I will be there all the time. I felt like every time I was there was because of a mistake, and I was just trying to solve the mistakes that I was doing. And tell you the truth, I know I was bouncing, and I know that it was hard, but I, at the same time, I knew I was doing still mistakes. And the only way to get a perfect event was to get rid of the mistakes. And that was all my focus was on, just to get the mistakes to almost zero. I know in sailing, the one who wins is the one who is making less mistakes. So I was trying to do as less mistakes as possible. But obviously, I was 18 and I was 20, I was 25 because I was doing mistakes. There was no... obviously, I was frustrated to be there, but at the same time, I realized that I have to get over these mistakes.
Sarah Winter, I'm sure you know Sarah. She has a question for you. So, Sarah, if you could come in and ask that question directly to Vasco, that would be great.
Hello. I'm just wondering if a little bit of what you're saying resonates, that the way you learnt kind of effectively for a long, maybe for a long time, sort of on your own or not having much coaching, like you learnt differently or more thoroughly because of that method, maybe perhaps as opposed to kids now being really spoon-fed information, you know, that difference maybe of what you went through and maybe your coaching now or just, you know, being able to do so well was the style that you had to learn just from having maybe no budget and no coach.
Well, I think nowadays this is, you have to understand that my first result came at 28, 29 years old, when I was 28, 29 years old. Today, this is impossible. Nobody will support you until you are 28, 29 if you don't do any results. So, no, you need a system. You need, at this stage, everything is so high level that you have to have a coach and everything that just accelerates this process. It's not that you, that's somehow you jump something or, but just accelerate this process. It's so important to have a good system behind and a coach and something that helps you every day and you can share experience every day and you can talk through and you have debriefs and all this stuff to be able to understand. What I learned was just from experience that I faced every day. But tell you the truth, this probably with a good system, I believe I could cut this time on half for sure. For sure. So well, these days you need, like, you have to have some, yeah, there is, nobody will support you until you're 30 or 35. Depends again on the system, on countries, on the volume of the sportsmen. But that we can come later also through other sportsmen in Slovenia, which are doing an amazing job. And I believe why a little bit, yeah.
Thanks for that. Sorry, Hamish, you go.
Yeah, I was just thinking back to Split, your breakthrough regatta at the Europeans. Did that sort of come with some conditions that favoured your style, what you'd learned? Did you find if your breakthrough came in conditions you were comfortable sailing in? Was it like a light sea breeze venue or did it just come, all your results just started to come from that point, or were they particularly aligned to certain conditions?
Well, first of all, I sailed many years in Split. Because at one point I realized that I have to leave home to be able to focus 100% to sailing. I felt at home I wasn't able to focus so much because obviously you have friends, you have family, you have all this stuff. So I moved to Split to a good friend of mine, Mate Arapov, and I stayed at his home. He was a very competitive guy and I am competitive as well, but not only sailing, in like eating the breakfast, who will eat first the breakfast and all these small things. And I'm like this, and everything I will try to do my best. And if I fail, I will be very disappointed and I will try to realize why, even like not sailing wise, but some other sports I'm doing, darts or anything, I will get mad if I lose. But then at the same time, I will reflect why. And I need somebody like Mate who was competitive as me, because obviously if you understand what you need and you need people around you that are share kind of same enthusiasm and the way of living, it's basically the way of living because you push everything. I stay at his home a few years and I always thank him a lot because they basically adopt me. I knew the place very well. And the conditions at the Europeans were up and down with some really strong winds, some light winds, if I say that, like kind of conditions, if they are, I never kind of think about, oh, was light wind regatta I can win or strong wind. I always try to be an kind of all around sailor and know where my weaknesses were and strong points and where I can push a little bit more when I can push. So knowing the place and being able to perform in all the conditions helped me. But there were many events in Split that I wouldn't perform. I think at that point, just everything came together. I just start to feel that I can be in front. I had no idea I would win European. Like, that was no way. And I think that was the key for the next years to come. Because I think focusing on the results is just a waste of energy. You have to focus on getting better. You have to focus on your weaknesses. It's much more important than focusing on the result. The result, it will come if you do everything right. That I kept on. And obviously after that result, the mentality changed and the belief changed. Everything started to go better and better.
This friend of yours, Martin, I couldn't catch his name. He was a training partner as well in the laser.
Yes, for many years. Yes. We were traveling around the world and around Europe with his car, old Cadet, Opel Cadet. Shared some great stories. He was second at that Europeans. He's still a great sailor. He went to Olympics as well. Yeah,
amazing. Yeah, that sounds like a sort of JJ and Andy Finn story from, you know, the Gold Cup. Yeah, brilliant. I love it.
Hamish, Vasco mentioned about how he hates to lose at anything. He's got a win at eating breakfast. He's got a win at playing darts. How common have you found that trait to be with the sailors that you've observed and worked with, and how important is it? Is it an essential part of being a top performer?
I think so, you know, and I think also using those other, you know, outlets is really good for distraction. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's cards or darts or swimming to a buoy and back, and, you know, riding your bike up the hill. They're really good distractions to get your head in another place and be competitive challenged. With all the teams I've coached, we've always had plenty of those distractions and lots of competition around the dinner table and elsewhere.
Vasco, we haven't even got to your first Olympic Games yet, but we've got some questions from Kingsley and Heather. So they're similar questions about your learning process. So if Kingsley and Heather would like to join us, it would be great to go a little bit further into your early career before we start getting into the Olympics. So let's see if we can get Kingsley and Heather in.
Yeah, hi. So firstly, congratulations. A fantastic story. I was interested in, did you use any systems to remember what you were learning, both successful things and mistakes? Did you write them down? Did you revisit it, have a book? You know, what sort of frequency did you relook at that information?
Well, I was always talking about the book and to write things in the book, and I did a few times. I tried, but then I was just I think I kept everything in my mind. I didn't it's a little bit like I remember when I sailed in 470 for a few years. So everybody was telling me, oh, you have to write down all the numbers of the mast with the day you were going good. You have to write all the brake, tension, and all the rest. But then I realized, well, if you sell so much, you don't need any book to write anything down, because you know exactly what you have to do. This you have to write down if you sail, I don't know, once a week or twice a week, then probably you need to write down things. just to remember it. But if you sail every day, I don't think you need a book. You just go to the process every day in your head, and I'm sure you don't, at least I don't forget things. I remember small things, and what I mostly remember is mistakes that I did. I don't remember so much the good things, but that is, the mistakes are in my mind still from, I don't know, 2004 or 2003.
So just following on from that, do you revisit those thoughts before you go out of a day and go, this is what I'm trying to do today, or these are the things I want to avoid?
Yes. And if there was something that happened in the past, then if I repeat it again, it just came and said, well, I'm repeating this again. It's not possible. So I have to get over it. So,
Kingsley, I wonder if you're a little bit surprised at Vasco's answer, because I am, because I know for me that if I go out and say, right, the only thing that matters is that I focus on getting those tacks better today. And then once I get into the race and the competitive mist descends, all that good intentions goes out the window. And I'm caught back in the moment again. So for me personally, writing things down and maybe even taping something on the boom, as to what the day's priority is what I need to do. And I see you nodding. I suspect that's what you want to do. So Hamish, you can be the referee here. What's your take on what Vasco's just said?
Well, I suspect that he's got a good brain. But I suspect too that he probably rehearses a lot. So let's go back to Split. And I imagine he said he was very comfortable with those conditions, weather conditions in Split, and had a great feeling about the venue because he sailed there and trained there for many years. So I think, if it's true or not, Vasco, just tell me, you do a lot of rehearsal. So when you know the conditions are going to be, you're going to be on this particular course tomorrow and the wind is going to be strong from the northwest, do you do a bit of rehearsal about how you might play that race out before you go on the water?
You mean visualizations? I do. Yes. My whole career is about visualizations. I do visualizations every day, all the time, before sleep, in the morning. Visualization for me is the key to prepare for the, and sometimes I visualize races, and important races, I start to sweat. I get so much into it. I love it. And I think the visualization is really important. But Andy, I did write things on the boom and on the boat. Yes, that I did. Not in the book, but on the boat, things, tips, what I have to, when I did mistake a few times, then I wrote it down. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a relief to me, and I'm sure it is to Kingsley as well. So we're almost back on the same page, or the same piece of tape on the boom anyway. Now, I've got a flurry of questions in. Now, this is a much better problem than not having enough questions. So I'm delighted to see how everyone is engaging with Vasco. This is a fantastic session so far, and we've got so much more to dig into. I just want to pick up on John Emmett's comment that winning those Europeans in Split was a little bit like breaking the 4-minute mile round the racetrack. Once you know it can be done, you can do it again. So I think that's a really good observation from John. We've got Ali Braden asking how you overcome challenges on the race course without a coach. So Vasco, just tell us at this stage, you talked about the relationship with your friend Marty Arapov, but presumably you also had a coach at this stage as well, did you?
Yes, I have. Let's say I have Jozo Jakalic as a coach at that stage, who was helping Mate Arapov already. And then from time to time, I had Trevor Mira as a coach for some events. Just we bond so well because I was a little bit kind of wild in and he was very calm and gave me that calmness and a balance in my sailing career. And we started to work in 99, and until Rio, he was always beside me in the important events. Then from 99 on, obviously we had a very low budget or no budget at all at that stage. Obviously after winning an Olympic medal, then the budget was bigger and I could afford Trevor more often. Before it was just about training camps. But anyway, I never had a coach on my own. We always share with other sailors because that was the only way to afford a coach at that stage. Trevor was a great opportunity and a guy who had a lot of contacts. He was in the sailing sailing area for many years. So yeah, he helped me a lot. And as I said, I had it until the end.
Vasco, I think what you're touching on is something that is really close to Hamish's heart and the whole ethos of Road to Gold, which is a tight-knit training group. And I just wonder if you can relate to the performances of Pavlos Contides and Tonči Stepanović, who have done so well. But between those two sailors from Cyprus and Croatia, they've won the silver medal in the laser at the last three Olympic Games. So how much can you relate to that? And just break it down for us. How can these small nation training groups punch above their weight and win medals against the big sailing nations?
Well, first starts from a belief. And I think I sailed in Split with Mate and Jozo as a coach, Jakelic. And that this first important result came in Split. It was really important for us and for Jozo and for Mate as well, who was second. From that on, obviously, you understand that you're doing the right things. And then Pavlos Contides came to train with us. He already went. I was training with him and he went with us in Beijing at the Olympics. He was already a good level there. And then Tonči came in slowly and then Sailor was coming in. But you have to imagine at some point in Split was like a big, big group of sailors who were pushing all the time because they just realized, if he can do it, we are training with him every day, then we can do it. So everybody started to push crazy. It was such a good environment and it still is a good environment. Now, how this formation this is the way to link together. And you have to know that you have to go through a process. And if you have good people and sportsmen who will push, then I think you can achieve great results. The different things from a small nation to a big nation, it's a little bit also at this moment in Slovenia, for example, in other sports like in cycling or in basketball, you have Luka Doncic, you have Pogacar, you have this. And a few times I was thinking why we have at this stage so many good sportsmen. Maybe the key is because, for example, we are such a small nation and everyone who is doing sport is important. If it's high level or not high level, low level, and everybody is trying to support him. And then maybe at some point, like Roglic came very late to cycling, but there was a huge support behind it because he was ski jumper and he was doing the tests. And nobody said, okay, you're not a good ski jumper, you won't do anything. They were doing all the tests. They say, look, maybe you try another sport, and he tried another sport. So because we are so little volume of sportmen, people in Slovenia, then everybody's trying to help them to get somewhere. In a big in big nations with a lot of sportsmen. Well, if you're not performing, probably you're out. And I can see some of this. But maybe this sportsman just needs time or just needs some other support. Nowadays, everything is focusing on the talent. You know, if somebody's talented, then you try to bring him up. And you, the talent, you can see it straight in the youth classes or in the youth sport. And somebody can be equally good, but maybe don't have the right weight, don't maybe some other problems, and maybe he will be better in more years. But then we're just focusing on the talent people. I think in Slovenia, we're not focusing so much on the talent people, but focusing on everyone. And we are trying to help everyone. Even if it's not good, but maybe it's good for the group and helps the group. Maybe it's a good fitness sportman or all this. So that was my only reason why, if you understand me, what I mean, why maybe this success, Slovenian success, it's in sport.
So it comes from a place of generosity where people want to help everybody else succeed, which I don't think we should take that for granted. I think that's a really difficult thing to achieve. And if a whole nation is all thinking the same way, such as you're talking about with Slovenia, that is an incredible thing. Because of course, the other way to get better in sport is if you can make everyone else worse. And the challenge of training in a group like you were with Mate Arapov, and then you mentioned Tonchi and Pavlos coming in later, is that you must have been sharing information and sharing knowledge in a really generous way. But is that easier to do in a laser, which is less technical, say, than a fin? Because I'm assuming there aren't really any technical secrets in a laser. So does that make it easier to have that relationship with other sailors?
No, I don't think so. I created a group in Valencia after London, and I bring in all the, let's say, laser sailors into a fin, and they were new, and everybody was a bit strange. Was Zombor Beres, was Alejandro Folia, was Muski, was Pavlos. We create a really good group. I have already some fin background. They were more or less new. But there were guys who were pushing. Like, they didn't care. They were hungry for a result. They were hungry to push on the water. And I knew there would come a time that they're going to push me. And at the beginning, I pushed them. And then they pushed me. And I had no secrets there. With sales, I give them my sales. I give them my dream. And I said at the end, going to probably very similar teams at the Olympics, and everybody will know everything. And I didn't thought that the technical advantage will be important, and the gaps will get smaller and smaller. And obviously you have small secrets which you learn and you don't share, but generally you want your training partners to be same level or good or better than you, so they can push you. And that happened exactly at the beginning, the first 2 years. Obviously, they were struggling, but the last year before the Olympics in Rio, the guys were pushing so hard, and they pushed me. I was 40, 41 years old. They were like pushing me like crazy, and I have to really thank them. And they were all very close also to achieve some great results. Zombor, obviously, now in Tokyo, was second. But yeah, we pushed so hard. And I, obviously, small secrets are there, and they have to be, I think, because it's generally very psychological. I don't think there is much bigger gaps to fill in the mental part than in the technical part.
So now that you're not competing, can you, and the fin is no longer an Olympic class, can you give us one example of one of those secrets in the fin that you held back?
So I, in the medium light wind, I put kind of a strap that I tried to hide, and I was hiding quite well, like a surf strap, just next to the mainsail block. That allowed me to to high way before the others, because the others were going to the hiking strap, and to go to the hiking strap, you just need a little bit more wind, maybe a knot more or two knots more. But I was able to hike and put some energy to the boat slightly earlier. So, for example, in the first race at the Olympic, I remember exactly, in Rio, that was exactly what happened. So I was using this windsurf, it's like a windsurf for a windsurfing strap. So I put my boat feet in and I was like hiking. I was putting energy to the sail through my legs, and the other were not able to. And I was just going so quick. And I said, okay, that's it. So that's a small, but yeah.
That's amazing. How did you manage to hide that from everybody else?
Yeah, well, you just put I don't understand. Yeah, just put the thing in, and it's the hiking strap are way more out. So the other, they just need more wind to be able to hike out. I was just able to hike earlier.
But when they're looking at your boat on the shore, why didn't they see it? Were you taking it off before you came ashore?
I was covering all the time with the tower or with the rudder.
So your training partners, if any of them are on this call now, if they watch this recording, what are they going to think about you now?
That was a small secret.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, we've only got 20 minutes left, and we haven't really talked in any great detail about your Olympic regattas, winning three medals and nearly winning a fourth at London 2012. We can't go into them in great detail, but it strikes me that a lot of really good sailors, when they get to the Games, they drop in performance. Maybe the pressure gets to them. To me, it looks like you rose to the occasion, that when it came to the biggest stage, you actually really turned on your performance. So give me your thoughts on that. Is that a fair assessment of the way that you performed at the Games?
Yes. Well, that's my theory. So I believe a lot of athletes are making a small mistake. Which it's kind of, they think going to Olympics, you have to do something special, you know, especially in the last part of the Olympics, they lose a lot of energy in that. I believe it has to be opposite. Like, you have to simplify things before Olympics at the Olympics, because the stress level is very high. Everything is different. So if you put to, you know, new environment, new psychological, you know, things and media and all the rest, there is a lot of things going on, and you have this Olympic village and everything, and you have, if you add to that even, oh, I have to do better this and all complicated, and I have to, you know, try to get better, then you lose it for sure. Like, it's no chances, so much things going on. Then generally you will fail, I believe. I think the most important thing is the last period and through the Olympics, you just have to simplify things. Like, it has to be probably training less. If you've done all the job, you've done it, that's it. You have to be true with yourself. Said, okay, I've done everything. I didn't, maybe not enough, but then kind of building up more, and I will get better in the last month, or I don't believe in that. And you just have to simplify things, because at the end, the Olympics are so stressful and so different that keeping things simple helps a lot.
That's a couple of things that you've pointed out that show great wisdom. And I wonder if you can claim that wisdom for yourself, or if it was from your coaches. So the whole process of keeping it simple, as you get closer to the bigger event, the more you need to simplify your campaign. And then something you said earlier, which was you didn't focus on the results, you focused on learning and improving and always doing something better. I think there's two great pieces of wisdom there, which tie in really well with Road to Gold. But did you work this stuff out for yourself, or was this through conversations with coaches or mentors or somebody else in your life?
Well, a bit all together. You know, you at the end of the day, you you have to listen to everyone. You have to talk to everyone. I don't believe you can just listen to really, I don't, let's say, top coaches. I think you have to listen also to local coach. And you have been the one who filtrates all this information and then use them as you need. So it comes from everywhere. It comes from, not from sailing, from other sports. You can put all these things together and you have been the one to filtrate all the information and keep the one that you think they're important for you and the one that you're not, and just don't use them.
I want to ask you about your own approach to coaching. It's something that John Emmett has asked in the chat box. But just while we're still on the Olympics, just pick out one or two moments from any of your games. I already love the one that you've told us about, the foot strap at Rio. But any other moments that you look back on with great pride or just that stand out to you? What about that first medal? That first medal in Athens? I mean, what about winning your first ever medal and the first ever for Slovenia? What was that like?
Well, again, it was that was so stressful. And I'll tell you why. I'll be quick. So the last day, we started the race. I was third overall. Okay. Like, everybody was crazy because obviously, winning first medal for Slovenia, third place. All the media, everybody, you see on the water all these ribs and big boats full of Slovenian from Olympic Committee and supporters and everything else. Like, oh, it was a shocker. And then we start the race with light wind, and I was doing well. I was doing really well. And we didn't manage to come to the first stop mark in time. And the rest was abundant. And it was like 10 minutes to the deadline. To the 3 o'clock, which was the last start. And I said, okay, maybe now there will be no start. They start to tow us back. And we just did the start. And the start went on and we sailed again. I was so stressful. I just remember that. Tell you the truth. I remember that stress going through when they were towing us down. I have still the picture in my mind. To go through everything again. I had a good start in that race. I did well. I was top five, almost at the top mark. We just maybe missed the top mark for 1 minute. And I remember repeating to myself, okay, it's something is not right. So it doesn't, I really tell you the truth. I said, okay, it's not going to happen. Obviously, like, I'm doing well and the race gets abandoned. And we have to resell again. I'm doing well, and all my competitors are doing bad. And I have to go through the process again. And I said, it just doesn't sound that I will get the medal today. But then somehow it happened. And all I remember was that, really. And the rest, it's pretty much deleted from my memory.
That amazing memory that I thought didn't lose anything. You didn't write it down, did you? You didn't write it down, Vasco.
No.
Fantastic story, though. There's much
then,
more I'd like
to. And then I can say in London what happened. So I was struggling with the weight and everything. It was strong wind. And this concept mask came out. And I tried it like 3-4 days before the Olympics and was going really well. And I said, oh, that gave me a lot of confidence. And I said, yes, can I? I asked an Italian guy who was the owner of the mask, can I use this mask? And he said, yes, I will not use it because the mask just came and I don't want to change my setup. And I said, look, I don't have a good mask, so can I borrow yours? And he said, yes, here it is, with Luca Devoti as well. Yes, I called Paul Ops and I said, can you redo the luff curve and everything for the mast? And he said, yeah. Okay. So I measured the mast in. It was just a few days before the Olympic starts. And I go for the first section after the measurement and the mast break. So I call Simon Hiscock and I said, please, can you repair my mast? So we went to his garage in Weymouth and he repaired the mast. And it was just 2 days before the Olympics. And then I went again on the water the day, or actually the spare day, 2 days before the Olympics. And there was the crack came again, just above that repair. So stressful. And then I didn't know for all the event if the mast will stay on or not. But anyway, Simon did an amazing job. The mast did the job all the week, but just took so much energy out of me that in the medal race I couldn't perform.
Are you saying that the stress of that worry took the energy out of you?
Yes, definitely. I was a bit empty in the medal race, unfortunately. But anyway,
if you were coaching a Finn sailor and that Finn sailor said, I want to change my mast in the final week before the Olympic Games, what as a coach would you say to your sailor?
I tell you even a greater story now before I answer this question. So for Rio, we were testing all these sails, North Sail. So we were testing it every day and different shapes and this and like for 2 years. And then I think it was 4 days before the Olympics. Some of my training partners were using the VB and they were going good. And I said to my coaches, at that stage was my brother and Trevor. I want to go with the VB. No, with the VB, you are going crazy. Your this is because of the Olympics. I said, I want a VB. Because just I felt like my training partner was going solid. I have some small doubts with some range of wind. The sail was performing really well, the north, but then some I was kind of struggling a little, not struggling, but just didn't feel right. Anyway, I called the guy like 4 days before the Olympics. He said, you can get the sail like in few days. I said, I need to get the sail, you know? You have to do something. And I was like, okay. So he shipped the sail. I got the sail 2 days before the Olympics. I put it on and I did the job. So I don't think the mental strength is when you're confident with everything you have on. That is the strength that you have mentally, that you don't care whatever you're going to use, whatever sail you're going to put on, whatever mast you're going to have, that you're going to perform. That's not that a sail, a different sail or a different mast or something different will help you to achieve a result. I don't believe in that. I believe that being able to change everything last minute, it's just because you don't care. You just feel like you do it, but that's it.
So, Hamish,
but
Hamish,
I will, but to tell you the truth, now as a coach, it's a bit different.
this is the thing.
But
Hamish,
if you are strong mentally, that's fine. That's fine. If you're strong mentally, I can use, I was able to use other Finn boats and I don't believe the outcome will be different.
Hamish.
It's an interesting, I think that the key point here is from Vasco is that, if you feel invincible, it doesn't matter what you use. And I remember seeing that with Tom King in the last year before Sydney, in the 470, he tried, three different sail makers in that last 3 months. So he tried all the opposition sail, and it didn't matter. He won convincingly. He was able to set the mast up and respond to those three different mainstream sail makers, and it wouldn't have, he could have flipped a coin. It wouldn't have mattered what he used. he was he had that invincibility. So yeah, I get that. Of course, as a coach, you know, if someone's kind of just it seems like a last minute decision, you know, if there's no solid background to it, you're going to be pretty nervous.
Vasco,
some grey hairs to the coaches.
And this is a question coming through: how is your approach different as a coach compared with when you were a sailor?
Well, the good things, I have a lot of knowledge from being to sail such so many years, and definitely I have a lot of experience to share with my athletes. At the moment, I'm working with the Irish Federation, and we have such a really young, talented group of sailors. From Radial now, the Eve McMahon just won the Youth Worlds in Radial, so the men are going better and better every day. And well, just to share all this experience, obviously I'm a young coach, but sharing this experience, it's a great opportunity for me as well. And obviously I'm a competitive person, and I will put the same effort that I was putting in the sailing, I will put in my coaching career, and I'm putting in. So at the moment I'm just sharing and learning. It's a really difficult job. Really difficult job, much more than I thought. But it's challenging. It's challenging because what the difference is that every sailor is different. And you have to understand that that you have to have different approach. And I think the key is to have a long partnership with the coach, no matter which level of the coach is. And I don't believe a coach will make better a sailor, but has to be something that goes together. The sailor has to make the coach better, push him, as I was doing when I was a sailor. I was pushing all the time my coaches, pushing to the boundaries. And this I expect from my athletes, to push me every day to get better and better. And the key is this bond that creates in time, like I created with Trevor Miller. And at the end, I have it just for the important events. And he just know what to press when something wasn't right.
So why did it work so well with Trevor? What made him such a great coach for you?
Well, first, he was cooking very well. Well, he created the environment. He gave me a balance. He gave me that you know, I was from a small nation and having some approach to sailing. He was more like international, and he know from British sailing, from Irish sailing, some more, you know, work process, and he gave me that balance, and obviously he know a lot of, you know, race committees, a lot of juries. He was known internationally, and yeah, he didn't do any spectacular things on the water, but yeah, looking overall, he gave me a lot of confidence, a lot of belief that we are doing the right things.
Now, I'm sure you haven't had a chance to look through Road to Gold properly, because I've only introduced you to it recently, but how useful do you think a program like Road to Gold could be for somebody from a small nation in terms of learning what they need to learn maybe sooner in their career than you were able to?
Well, I know Road to Gold, so not as much, but a little bit, yes. Well, just sharing things, I think it's important. Sharing experience. I don't think there is a key that opens all the door. I don't think that exists. As I said before, everybody is different, and you just talking through experience, sharing different ways, and so that every athlete can find his own way to deal. Because at the end of the day, it's the athlete has to create his own environment. And that means that he has to understand how everything works and help himself to make him better, not just wait the coach to do something special for him. So I think sharing the experience.
As
it's interesting, thinking to Ben Ainslie's coach when I was working for the British, Jez Vanstone, going back to China, and he bought that. He came down and did the high performance role in New Zealand for a while after that. And I remember he'd often say to us as coaches, "Less is more." And I thought that was pretty on point. I think, moving from an athlete sailor to a coaching role, it's very easy to pass too much information on, and picking the right things to pass on at the right time is probably the hardest thing to do.
That's a really good observation. It must feel like you're not giving the sailor value for money if you're not passing on everything you know. But it seems to come back to that point that Vasco was making earlier, that the closer you get to the games, the simpler you want to make the process, not to cloud the mind with too much excess information. Now we're nearly out of time, but I've just got one question from Finn, whose microphone isn't working, so I'm going to ask it for him. And that is to ask you, Vasco, how do you deal with on the water nervousness or stress before a race? So what's your process for that?
Well, that was something that I deal with my psychologist. I definitely use the psychologist quite early at the stage, because it was a friend of mine and he helped me. And the answer is quite easy. It's breathing. I had always the same approach to a start of any event, if it's important or not important. So it was just breathing, sitting down in the boat, breathing, relaxing, thinking about obviously these psychological treatments. That was my kind of ability to not think at all about stress, to focus, and to kind of relax a little bit as much as I could.
So can you give us an example of that breathing now, how it would change?
Well, what do you mean, an example?
Well, we're all breathing all the time, right?
Oh, so... Yes. You go from 3 seconds in, 3 seconds out, or 2-3, or 1-3, depends. And then you have to, breathing and thinking about the white wall. You have to see the white wall and breathing. And then it's really good to try it, for example, in a very crowded place, like on the train or something like that, just to close eyes and visualize things and breathe. And you can see how you can. And it's a process. It's not just like, okay, you're going to do once, it's going to work. It's a process. I found a really great way to cool down, set for the next race, and the process was always the same.
Every point that you've raised, Vasco, takes me down a different branch line, and I want to spend an hour talking about every point that you bring up. But we're on our hour. That's been one of the most valuable 60 minutes that I think we've spent. You've really delivered for us, Vasco. I think you're a phenomenal athlete, and I hope you go on to prove yourself as a phenomenal coach as well. I just want to thank also the people that came in to ask questions, both in the the chat box, and Sarah and Kingsley coming in to ask questions directly. Hamish, any observations about what we've learned from Vasco over the last hour?
No, I totally agree with you 100%. It was fantastic sharing experience, and thanks for coming on and laying it down for us, mate.
We're getting some great feedback in the chat box, so thank you for that, and we'll pass that on to Vasco if he hasn't had a chance to see it for himself. So regretfully, that is the end of the call. It's been really good to catch up with you. I don't think I've seen you since your silver medal at Rio 2016. So it's been a while. So thank you so much for that. I hope we don't leave it so long until the next time we catch up. But best of luck with your Europeans coming up in Bulgaria. And we will be back to you another time, Vasco. And for the rest of us, we will be back again next week. If you're not yet a member of Road to Gold, check out the links in the chat box. Give it a look. It's got a 30-day money-back guarantee. So there's a no-risk trial period there. So do take advantage of that, even if you're not sure if it's quite right for you. But generally, if you want to make your boat go faster and you want to become a better sailor, wherever you are in your career, it is going to work for you. But that's it for this week. Thank you so much. And we will see you again in a week's time. Bye for now.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.